Welcome to Think Like an Integrator, a podcast for business visionaries who love to dream but lack a team to do it all. I'm your host and integrator, Kat Schmoyer. When you know how to integrate, you will always be able to innovate. I'm here to tell you how. Welcome to the show. Hey, y'all. Welcome back to another episode of Think Like an Integrator. At the beginning of every single episode, I say, this is such a fun episode, but it's true. I need to like get some new adjectives to start using to describe these episodes. But I'm really excited because this is a KS team member episode. And so I asked Riley, who's one of my incredible project managers, to jump on. So you guys get to know Riley a little bit. She hasn't been on the podcast yet, so that's fun. And we're also talking about something that we haven't talked about a whole lot on the podcast yet. So it's fun for that reason, because it's like a new topic that we get to dive into. But before we dive into that fun topic that I'm excited about, Riley, could you introduce yourself and share a little bit more about you and your family?
Yeah. So my name's Riley. I'm so excited to be here. Thank you for having me. My husband and I live in Florida with our pets, and I've been working in the digital space since I started dipping my toes in 2019. And then in 2020, I went like full force into the digital product space. So evergreen funnels are my jam. I'm so excited to talk about it today. So yeah, thanks for having me.
I'm so glad. I'm so glad that you're here. And like Riley said, evergreen funnels are 1,000% Riley's jam. Like, I mean, she does really great with live launches. I'm not going to like pigeonhole any of our project managers. But I do think that there is a certain strategy that we have to consider when we're thinking about evergreen funnels that is different from a live launch. And that's what Riley and I wanted to be able to talk to you guys about today. As y'all know, we do a lot of live launches. And actually, since 2021, we've done over 150 live launches, which feels like very daunting when you like hear that big number. It doesn't feel real, but I promise that's a real number that we've done. But even though we've done that many live launches, not all of our clients enjoy live launching. And there is like a pressure that comes with live launches that can just add a different level of anxiety to the situation. And while our goal is to eliminate as much of that anxiety around a live launch as we can, we know that for just some businesses, live launching isn't ideal. Or maybe you do it one time to kind of like say you did it, and now you want to really dig into the evergreen funnel side of things. And that's definitely what we want to be focusing in on today. When you're building a digital product business, I personally think that the secret behind the business machine is in being able to leverage your audience and your products evergreen as well as live launch. So it's kind of like right hand meets left hand. And again, we've talked a lot on this podcast about the live launch aspect. And so now I want to dig into this whole other side of the machine, essentially, so that we can give you some feedback and advice on building out a successful evergreen funnel in your brand. So, okay, that's enough of the like intro to evergreen funnels. Let's like pass the mic over to Riley a little bit and really talk through evergreen funnels. So first and foremost, let's make sure we're all on the same page with like just overall terminology. So Riley, can you break down like what exactly is an evergreen funnel and how does it differ from potentially a live launch funnel?
Yeah. So an evergreen funnel is an automated marketing system that takes your website viewers from being viewers all the way through to where they're being customers of yours. And ultimately, I like to tack on that they're a raving fan of yours. So it takes them from maybe even just poking around social media, watching you on YouTube, or just organically finding you all the way through the process to maybe purchasing a low ticket item or one of your signature courses. So it's really that roadmap that gets them from point A all the way to point B. Then how this differs from a live launch scenario. So with live launches, a lot of the elements are similar. So when you're in a live launch scenario, you do have sales emails, you do have sales pages and checkouts and all of those things, but there's a scheduled time that you have on your calendar that you're projecting all of these things. You schedule out the emails and send them in, and then eventually your cart closes. But with an evergreen, you do still have the sales emails, but like I said before, they're all automated. So there isn't something where you have to go in and press send every time, but people can hop into this funnel at any point. And it's really a scalability factor for you to be able to always be essentially in a launch for your products.
I love that. When I first heard the terms like live launch and evergreen, it was described or like explained to me as evergreen is always green. It's always on. Like you're always just like, again, the machine is working on the back end. And so it is, it's like you're in a live launch, but without the pressure of like, this is the live webinar day. And like, this is open cart and this is end cart. And like all of these additional pieces of the live launch puzzle.
Right. And I think just, and you mentioned this earlier, but I think a big point to having the evergreen funnel as a part of your business model is to be able to scale. So you can't, you're not abandoning your open cart models and you're not abandoning your live launches, but you're adding to it with being able to essentially have people jump in on your products all year round, which is awesome.
Absolutely. It really is like the bread and butter of that true quote unquote passive income. Like, so when people say like, I want passive income, well, then you need it to be evergreen because you need to just literally get a purchase every single day if you can. Like that is that passive income model working for you. Yeah. Yeah. That's great. So, I mean, I feel like we've already kind of talked about some of the benefits of an evergreen funnel, but if somebody is listening to this and maybe they've live launched a course before and they're just not quite sure, like, what are the benefits? Like, should I make it evergreen? Maybe they're hesitant with like this scarcity and urgency factor that like a live launch could bring. Like, what would be some of the advice or some suggestions you would have with like the benefit of making it evergreen?
Yeah. So like you said a second ago, passive income is a big benefit and also just having consistent sales. Sometimes when people come into your business, so if they come into your business and see a lead magnet and they hop into it, they're hot and they're ready to like take the next step with you right then. But if you're not open cart in that moment, you may lose a sale then. So having an evergreen model allows those new leads who are hot and ready to go take the next step with you and maybe join your program, join your course. So it's really catching them when they're ready.
Yeah. And Rebecca and I talked about this. I'll have to go back and we'll link it in the description. We talked about this in a Facebook ad episode a couple of months ago, but essentially like a mistake that we see with people running ads is they're essentially running ads to a dead funnel. Mm-hmm. And what that means is like they're running ads to a lead magnet. And then after the lead magnet, it just drops off. Like what happens to those people? And so then to your point, Riley, of like, well, let's give them a way to purchase. So then that of course helps you as the business owner. Like it helps your cash flow. It also helps you if you're running ads to see direct return on that investment. So like your ROAS is better on your ad spend because you immediately ask them for a sale.
Right. And another mindset shift that I would encourage you to make is it's not only going to benefit you, but you're also looking out for your people who you're wanting to serve. So it's kind of mutually benefiting. You're getting the consistent income and the passive income, and they're also getting to be served with what they're looking for because you're answering the pain points they're asking ideally. So it's both benefiting you and your ideal customer by offering something evergreen for them.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. So in thinking about that, again, going back to like the person listening to this has a course or a membership, how do you know if it's the right product for evergreen? Like how can you try to set yourself up for the best success of actually getting consistent sales?
Yeah. So with your products, what I would probably do is look at your whole product suite. So if you have a like high dollar signature course, that is something you can put on evergreen, but sometimes it's hard to get people from downloading a free lead magnet or signing up for a free class to spending $1,000+ right away if they just got into your business. So take a step back and look at the little steps along the way or the roadmap that you want them to take to get there. So there may be a $27 like smaller product that you have to be a milestone for them. So what I would do is just zoom out and look at the steps that your customer needs to take in order to get them to that main product that you're wanting to live on evergreen.
Mm-hmm. And for all the visionaries out there, maybe you have so many ideas for like new products. So first of all, that's great if you have this little parking lot list of things that you could potentially create. But I want to like encourage you to not necessarily create something new, but maybe to Riley's point of, well, if you already have a signature course or a membership, there's something you can pull out of that that could be the bite-sized chunk, you know, again, a template or a more fleshed out PDF like workbook or even a mini course. Like there's something you could pull out of that. So you don't necessarily have to create something brand new. You could just take something from it to create a smaller offer. And then that could work well in the Evergreen model too. Okay. So since we've talked about kind of using a smaller product as the Evergreen version of the, you know, larger signature, I'd love to get into some like tangible examples, Riley. And I know you've done this with some of our clients. So I'd love for people to hear one of those awesome examples.
Yeah. So I was actually just on a roadmap call last week with a visionary who was looking to build an Evergreen funnel. And what she was ideally wanting to do was to get people into a coaching program that she had, but she was wanting to be able to scale it and make it to be so it wasn't so manual on her part. So I'll just give an example of what we talked through. So what I did was we went back and tried to determine, how are people currently finding you and finding your coaching program? So she was saying that what she does is she does individual audits for one of her ideal customers. And then when they see that audit, they start to love her and they want to then take the next step and join her coaching program. But the problem with that is she would have to do an individual audit for every single person that she wanted to be in her coaching program. So as you can imagine, time is money and she could be spending her time doing lots of things, but spending them doing that audit was just taking up a lot of time. So essentially what we did is we took what was her doing the audits individually for her different clients and made a self-audit checklist where someone can go and download the audit checklist, do their audit themselves, and then they can determine whether or not they want to take the next step with her and join her coaching program. So that was a way of scaling to where now she doesn't have to individually do all these audits anymore. And people can just, whenever they want to, download this checklist, and it leaves them wanting more, which is her coaching program. So it's essentially setting up her own program to be on Evergreen that way.
Love that. I feel like that's such a great example. I'm even thinking about that with like the agency, right? Of like, how can we have a piece of our funnel feel more scalable when it is related to our time? Like you said, like time is money. And so for her, that was so smart for you guys to strategize around like, okay, let's kind of take you out of the equation. Let's use your brain and like your zone of genius and like the checklist that people need to walk through, but let them do it and see how valuable it is for even them to complete it themselves to then come over and want to book the, like sign up for the coaching program with her. Yeah. That's such a great example.
Exactly. And when people download it, it's not just, okay, great, they got the download and that's it. But we also strategized and set up automated emails that when they'll get the initial delivery checklist, they'll get a couple emails 1 or 2 days later checking in on them, giving them some additional nuggets of wisdom to help them start to build their know, like, and trust of her. And then a couple days later, they'll start to pitch her coaching program. So they're being nurtured all along the way. So the idea really is to create raving fans and to give them that nugget of wisdom to want to trust her and take the next step and become a paying customer, essentially.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So that brings me back to like, let's talk through like kind of the tangible aspects of the funnel, because I want to make sure for those of you guys that are brand new to an Evergreen funnel, like you leave this episode feeling like you have a checklist, which little surprise, Riley created a checklist. So we'll have like an evergreen funnel checklist for you guys. So if you are creating one yourself, you can kind of work through and see like, do you have the components needed? So, and thinking about the example you just gave, like you said, there was the freebie and then you didn't just drop off and not reach out to them. You had a lot of touch points throughout that process leading them to the sale. So can we like back it up a couple of steps and do that high level of all of the touch points in an evergreen funnel?
Yeah. So a good rule of thumb is every freebie that you have should lead somewhere. And Kat mentioned this just a minute ago with ads. We do see where people have a bunch of great freebies, but they're not going anywhere. So the very first thing that you need in your evergreen funnel is that freebie, whether it's a download, whether it's a free training, a video series. There's lots of different freebies that you can have, and you can strategize on what type you need depending on what the end goal is. But the first thing that you need is your actual free resource. Then from there are some nuts and bolts that you need. So you need a landing page. That way people can give you their name and their email in order to get that freebie. So do the original freebie, the landing page, and a confirmation page to tell them to go check their email. Because we need them to start getting familiar with you, getting familiar to receive emails from you. So it pushes them to go check their email and download their freebie. So from there, now we're going to talk about emails. So there are a few different types of emails you need in an evergreen funnel. The first one is the delivery email. This is simply an email that gives them the download and maybe a couple of tips and tricks in that email. And then after that, you want a couple of consumption emails. So check in on them a day later. Check in, see how they're doing, ask them if they have any questions, if they have any feedback. And then in this email, it may be a good idea to drop another little nugget of wisdom that has to do with the freebie. Again, just to continue building that trust in you. Then from there, you can essentially put them into an evergreen sales funnel where it pitches them the next point that you want them to go to. So if you're wanting them to eventually go to a signature course that you have or a high dollar like membership, you may want to pitch them a smaller product. So send a few emails asking them to go to the smaller product. Or depending on what the course is, you could send a few emails pitching them the course itself.
I think what is like the biggest takeaway in the evergreen funnel is the power of emails in the funnel. And again, that goes back to the point of this is automated on the back end. And so you're doing work now to set things up, but then you have this automated system. You have strong copy and touch points via email that are nurturing and then leading them to the sale. And so having consistency with that and having strong copy is really important in the funnel, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm. There's also an option. Let's say they get all the way through your whole funnel and they didn't join your signature program. So that's not necessarily a fail. That's a figuring out where they're at and trying to see if there's maybe another offering that could potentially be better for them. So sometimes what people will do will be to have a downsell after that. So it maybe it wasn't the signature course, but hey, I actually have this mini course that might be a better fit for you at this time. So still keeping them in your world, in your email, continue nurturing them, send them weekly emails or monthly emails, because this may not be the right time, but eventually it will be the right time for them to join your program.
Right. Absolutely. And everything is good information. Like you said, like we don't want to chalk it up as like, oh, that's a failure. They didn't purchase. Like, no, I think it's just good information to then be able to assess, well, why didn't they? Like, is it the product? Is it the messaging? And so that kind of brings me like to my next question, Riley, of like, how do we optimize? Like, how do we assess, like looking at the data to like optimize a funnel? Because I feel like it's so easy to just be like, it's not working. And like, you like throw it all away. And like, you totally like reinvent the wheel. And like, that's actually not the thing to do in this situation.
Yeah, that happens a lot, especially with visionaries when it's not working right away. Yeah. You don't want to toss the whole thing out because you put in so much work to that funnel. So What's important is to look at the data to see where the issue is lying. So for example, if you have this freebie that you're putting out there and just simply no one is downloading it, maybe you're not answering the correct pain point that your audience has. And so maybe the rest of the funnel is okay, but maybe you need to tweak the initial initial freebie or rephrase the way it's titled just to get people into the funnel itself. Or if you're looking at the data and you're seeing, I have a ton of people downloading this freebie. I'm looking at my email clicks. Everyone is clicking to go to my signature course, but no one is actually purchasing. So maybe the issue, it's not the freebie, it's not the emails, but maybe it's the sales page itself. Maybe some of the copy on your sales page isn't hitting the mark. Or you're seeing another example is people are opening emails, but nobody's clicking. So let's relook at the emails and see what's happening there. So I think the key here is to choose one controllable thing that you can edit and test and see how it goes from there before tweaking everything, because you really want to see like where the main issue is in the funnel.
Absolutely. It's giving yourself time to like do the audit, you know, just like Riley is saying of like, you don't know what's broken until you actually look. And we want to have like facts, not just feelings about the funnel. So we want to be able to look through and see like, okay, well, is it the opt-in? Like, are we just not getting as many people as you want coming in? Or no, is it something inside of the emails? Is it the sales page? There's so many different things, you know, to assess. And that can feel overwhelming because it feels like there are so many things. So that's where I love Riley's suggestion of let's just pick one thing, like look at it, kind of make your little list of here's the potential issues. And then let's pick the one that you feel like makes the most sense to fix first so that you can then understand like, well, was that the issue? Because if we change too many things, then like we won't know what the actual problem was in the first place. And that's not going to be helpful for future funnels that you create.
Yeah, exactly.
So when somebody like how often would you suggest like kind of auditing a funnel and like keeping an eye on the process?
Yeah. So especially when you're in the first stage of setting everything up, I would check that funnel very regularly just to see how it's doing. Then, of course, things are always changing, especially in the online space. And so are your ideal customers. They're people. So their wants and needs are changing. And so I would recommend doing semi-regular audits of your funnels in general to see how well they're doing over time. You could put together a spreadsheet where monthly you're tracking how many opt-ins came in that month, how many buys came in from that funnel this month. And that way you have regular data that you're looking at to be able to see if you're noticing a decline after 6 months, maybe it's time to revamp a little bit. Maybe it's time to add in a new top of funnel, but keeping the like bolts of the same emails, same pitch, but we just need a new top of funnel. So really being able to regularly track your numbers is key here.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I also think that it's helpful to have really strong tracking on the back end in your systems when you're looking at this data. That's something that even though it can become a little bit complicated pending all the funnels and all the, you know, different ways that people can jump in, it's something that we do when we're setting up the funnels for our clients, where we'll have, for example, like if the checkout feature is Kajabi, we'll have an organic version, an ad version, a funnel, like we'll have multiple versions of that checkout page so that those links are separate. And then we can very clearly see like, okay, we can tell in ConvertKit how many people opted in to this landing page. Well, now how many people purchased? Let me just go to Kajabi and look at that specific offer that we are sending them to. And that can help eliminate some of this like, well, how do I gather this data? Like, how do I know if they came from Instagram, if they came from Facebook ad, or if they came from YouTube? Like, no, let's get a little bit more microed on the tracking.
Right. And just to reiterate that, essentially, when you're creating your funnel, where you have your top of funnel freebie with that initial landing page, you can label in the back end, label that landing page organic. So every time you are sharing that page on your social media or just in emails, you're referring to that organic page. Then if you decide this is going really well, I do want to run ads to this, duplicate that page and just have an ads version of that page, and then have your ads only running to that page. That way you can truly see your numbers, how many are coming from organic, how many are coming from ads. And so that will be also really helpful for you in decision making. So if you're seeing like this is performing really well, I might want to up my ad spend, Or if you're seeing numbers are dropping, I'm actually going to lower it, or we need to tweak something about the ad. So essentially, it's really helping yourself out with the decisions that you may need to make later on.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So again, a little more work at the beginning when you're getting all of those pieces set up, but it will pay off in the long run, because the goal is more revenue, right? Like, I mean, that's why you're creating an evergreen funnel, is you want to see those sales coming in consistently. And so that means we need to be able to track and see, well, are they coming in consistently? And which method is working the best? And I've had clients with evergreen funnels where we might see like, okay, actually organically, it works better when we're sharing about this webinar on Instagram. And when we do ads, it's falling a little bit flat. So like to Riley's point of like, well, how can we then adjust ad creative and copy, or how can we hit a different ad audience? Like there's just so many things that you can compare, contrast when you have the proper data to be able to make the decision to compare and contrast it.
Exactly.
So I don't want to like be like, what are like the biggest mistakes you see? Because that feels like so Debbie Downer, but also we can learn from each other's mistakes. So I would love to hear like, what do you feel like are some common mistakes that can be made when visionaries are setting up an evergreen funnel?
Yeah. So I know that we had said this earlier, but a big mistake that I see people making is just simply not nurturing the people that they have coming in. So it's really important just to establish a relationship with the customers that you're wanting to serve. You have the answer to what they're looking for, and you want to set yourself up to be able to serve them well. So nurturing them in those emails is really, really important. Rather than just immediately going into pitch, that might turn somebody off. And so giving them those nuggets of wisdom, potentially pointing them to other resources that you have, will be really important. Another mistake that I see people making is a visionary sometimes will have like 10, 15 different products depending on what they have. And so sometimes they feel a little bit like, oh, I want to tell them about this course, but I also want to tell them about this small product. And then I have this class. And then I also have these other freebies. And then they essentially are just overwhelming their audience with all of the offerings they have. So a big thing that what we a lot of the time are recommending is setting up a roadmap essentially to where you want them to be. That doesn't necessarily mean you need to tell them every single thing that you have to offer right then and there, but there's a roadmap to get there. So you can introduce those things along the way, but don't feel like you need to inundate them with all of the things all at once, because that may end up deterring them from your next step.
Absolutely. I've definitely seen that. Like I can think of examples of seeing that where, you know, somebody opts in to a freebie and then maybe you're sending multiple freebies all to the same welcome sequence. And then in that welcome sequence, you're presenting opportunities to purchase, which can be great. But if you're presenting too many opportunities, it's just overwhelming. You're not niching down right, with a specific freebie to then the specific product that additionally works with that freebie.
Right. You want to make it a really easy yes for them. You don't want to give them too many options to click. So really, when you're looking at your emails, ask the question, am I making it easy for them to say yes and take their next step? Because if you give them too many options, people get decision fatigue and they may just decide that they can't choose or get overwhelmed with it and then just end up not choosing.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's so smart. And it doesn't mean, like you said, it doesn't mean that we can't tell them about products in the future. You know, right, like you can have a full product flow, you know, where they move from one funnel talking about one product over to another funnel. And you can even get super fancy with it. And like, well, if they purchase this one, send them here. And if they don't purchase this one, send them here. And, you know, really kind of have fun with the strategy of connecting all of your products for the benefit of the customer.
Totally. I start to nerd out with all of the different product flows. So that's like my favorite.
Yep. I love it. So if you're listening to this and you're like, I need help with your product flow and like all of those ideas are just road mapping your funnel, Riley is your girl for sure. We actually have an offer called The Roadmap where you can book a 60-minute call to get some insider one-on-one support to again, roadmap. We've used that term a lot, but like that's why we called it the roadmap, but like to roadmap your evergreen funnel or even like your overall product suite. So definitely like take a look at that on the website and reach out if you guys have additional questions or want to like chat with Riley one-on-one about that. So, okay, last question, Riley, what advice would you give to someone who is starting out building their very first evergreen funnel?
Yeah, I would say let's keep it simple at first. Yes, you have so many products. You can do a whole product suite where you're introducing them to different product flows, but let's just keep it simple at the beginning so as to not overwhelm yourself and really test it to make sure it's working well with this simple funnel. Have a lead magnet, have the landing page, the emails, and then the pitch. And then later on, if you want to add in other products to the flow later, we can totally do that. Let's test it. Let's make it more robust. But let's go ahead and just get started with the simple flow, and then we'll see where it goes from there.
Yeah, I think that's so smart because, I mean, really with anything with business, I feel like it's always easier to add more to it. It's harder to backtrack and like untangle webs to simplify. So when you are starting something from scratch, like just start with the basics. And I know Riley and I kind of geeked out a little bit about like, oh, and you can have organic version and, you know, ad version and YouTube version, all of these things. And like, yes, 1000% we agree with that. But like even just starting with one, because I don't think that you need to even turn on ads or do all of these advanced things right away if you're testing out something brand new, because we don't know if it converts. So just create one that's essentially your organic version. You know, get it out there on ManyChat, start sharing about it with your current warm audience and see what happens, and then start the duplication process to, you know, create the ad version and get ads turned on and things like that.
I love it.
Yeah. So simple is best. It really, even though we love all the extra like strategy, just start simple. Okay, Riley, this was so helpful. And like I said before, I know we have the evergreen checklist that we'll make sure that we link. So if you guys are listening to this and you're, you know, in the beginning stages, or maybe you just kind of want to audit an existing evergreen funnel and being able to grab that checklist and make sure you have those high points, feel free to download that. And then again, if you'd like to work with Riley a little bit more one-on-one, we have the roadmap opportunity where she will sit down with you via Zoom and again, dig into your evergreen funnel or overall product flow and kind of get some of that connections in place so that you feel really good with the product suite that you're creating. Well, Riley, thank you again for being here. And I'm just really grateful for this like feedback and advice that you were able to share around evergreen funnels. And hopefully this was encouraging to you guys who are in the early stages of creating an evergreen funnel.
Thanks so much. This was so fun.
All right, guys, I will see you guys for next week's episode.